On today's episode of the Innovation Room podcast, we're talking all about one of the biggest mistakes you can make in your physical appearance in an interview, the differences between virtual and in-person interviews, and the best way to sit in a chair while you interview. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to the Innovation Room podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tori, here with my co-host, Rhiannon. And today we are discussing the best practices for interview success in the nonverbal arena.
Yes, Tori. One of my favorite topics. I'm interviewing people all the time. So this is so important. I think sometimes we forget to really pay attention to our appearance. So it seems reasonable with what you say in an interview is more important than how you look, or whether or not you cross your arms. But the physical appearance of presentation is just as important as the content of your answers. Your first impression can make or break the interview. In fact, a survey from CareerBuilder found that 49% of employers cited inappropriate dressing as a common interview mistake. Many initial interviews are happening via video call now, but your physical appearance is still key to success in the virtual environment. And most of the same rules still apply to virtual interviews as to in-person interviews.
Yeah, absolutely. So we want to break down here the differences between in-person interviews and virtual interviews as far as how should you present yourself? What should you wear? But the key for both is, or the first thing to consider, whether you're in-person or virtual, is what is the company culture? And how does the company culture, what's the vibe? How does that shape what you wear in an interview? At North American Signs, our culture, as far as dress code, is a little bit more casual, right? We do wear jeans in the office. So something like that might mean that you can come. I wouldn't recommend necessarily wearing jeans to an interview, but it maybe means that you don't need to show up in a full suit. Maybe a button down and slacks will work for guys, or a nice business skirt and a blouse will work for ladies.
But right. Then there are other. Sorry. Yeah. One thing that I always say for this, and when you're thinking about company culture, if you do have a phone interview with, say, HR, like that initial phone interview sometimes will not be
video
online
call.
Or in person, you can absolutely ask them what is appropriate in
That's
regards
a great
to
idea.
What is the company culture dress code. What is the dress code? You can absolutely ask that. If you don't have that opportunity, you basically have three facets. You know, obviously you have formal, and most of the time that's in your law offices, your finance offices, those upscale corporate offices. Obviously you have business casual, and then you have more of a casual look. I always say that it is better to be overdressed than underdressed.
100%.
So if you 100%. Think that the office is super casual for where you're interviewing, at least go business casual. Go that one step above what you think the office dress code is. It's 100% better to be overdressed than underdressed in an interview.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And that's a great tip to talk to the HR person. Or even if maybe you don't have a phone interview with the HR department, but you can even just say, I have an in-person interview, or I have a virtual interview coming up. Do you have a recommendation on dress code? Something like that would be completely appropriate. And I do work with some scholarship organizations or scholarship opportunities for high school girls. And for a lot of them, they do an interview and it's their first time interviewing. And they're in front of judges and they're being asked about their experiences and their opinions and things like that. And so it's their first time in this kind of setting, right? Now, we all know as working people, you're interviewing, right? Especially if you're really looking for jobs, you might be interviewing quite often. And so what I recommend to these young ladies, and what I would say to mostly anyone who's interviewing, especially, again, if you're in that in-person environment, when your full self is going to be seen, virtual, you can fudge it a little bit, right? With just what you wear on top. But if you're in person, I always think it's fun to wear an outfit that stands out in a tasteful way. Now, I am a fashion girly, so I love to wear fun clothes. And that's not everyone's thing, but I do think there is value in choosing clothes that stand out in that really tasteful way. something that is, of course, flattering on you, maybe something that's a little bit more colorful. Consider what colors really look best on you. Do you really look amazing in all black? That probably doesn't like quite stand out. Colorful is generally a better way to help you stand out, but right, do your features really like sing in all black? Or do you look amazing in bright red or something like that? How can you use color to really highlight yourself and present yourself in a way that's not right? We don't want to be aggressive or in your face, but that speaks to who you are with confidence, right?
Now, I was going to say, on that note, mm-hmm. I would not go in very aggressive patterns or very loud patterns. And unless it is you are going into a fashion job or whatever, which is, again, you also have to consider where you're going into, what job you're going into. So I don't know that I would wear a neon suit. Like a neon.
Probably not.
Bright neon green suit to an upscale office. However, like Tori is saying, it is okay to throw the pops of colors in there for guys. A nice brighter tie or a bright shirt with a black suit. It is okay to show a little bit of your personality. I know, Tori, we've been to many trade shows together. We have, both of us have hot pink dress pants and with a nice blouse. It's okay, but I would stick more to the solid colors and not very loud patterns. You don't want things distracting from you. So it's that fine balance of showing your personality, staying professional, and not being too distracting. So same thing with, so also females, jewelry. You don't want to be huge, loud pieces of jewelry. Jewelry is okay, but keep it classy, keep it simple. Same thing with also perfume, which sometimes we don't think about, men and women.
Yeah.
You don't want to go in with a strong scent that, again, you don't know people in that office. Maybe somebody's super sensitive to smell. You don't want to give somebody a headache because you're in a close vicinity with them because you are overpowering. So think of those little details that you don't want to overpower and be, again, distracting from your actual interview. But definitely appearance is something that is that first impression. And that's a huge statistic, Tori. 49% of employees cited unprofessional dress as a reason they didn't. That's huge. And that's all so true today. And I think that a lot of times, many offices are leaning more towards the business casual. I've even seen like teachers, like in schools where it used to be teachers are always super professionally dressed and very nice. But even teachers wearing jeans on a regular basis. So even though I would say society has been a little bit more lax in regards to, or a little bit more casual in regards to dress, it's still very important because when you take pride in your appearance and take pride in what you're wearing, it shows obviously you care, you put thought into it. And it not only is that impression of yourself, it's that self-confidence. When I feel good, I look good, I have that confidence. Yeah. That exudes to those people that are interviewing you. Along with also just the dress, also look at your grooming habits. So don't wake up and go in with bedhead. Make sure that things are taken care of. For women, for females, something to think about is nails. Mm-hmm. I normally have my nails done, but when I go to shows or I'm going to visit with a client, what I do to my nails are very different from my everyday, let's say, fun and bright colors. You don't want your nails overly long, so make sure you groom those. Yeah. You cut those down. For an interview, when you're not knowing exactly what the vibe is or if you don't know what the culture is, I would say keep it fairly neutral. Those, and again, solid. You don't want a bunch of bright gemstones on your nails or bright patterns or all of those. Keep it fairly neutral. And I think that you're good with that. That's always a safe choice. Even if you want to be fun, some red nails, as long as they're just red and no fun patterns or anything along those lines, red is fine. But you can have that pop of color or pink. A hot pink.
Yeah.
But definitely keep it neutral and keep it not so busy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because, like Rhiannon said, it can become, whether or not it's intended to, it can become a distraction. And I think another important thing, we'll talk about this a little bit more in a bit, about body language more. But sometimes, especially when ladies, when we've got those really long nails, that can become a source of fidgeting or even a source of noise. So if I am, right, clacking my fingers against whether it's the table or my chair or a water bottle or whatever, right, sometimes we have habits that we don't think about. And so removing that as a source of distraction is a valuable, easy way to just check that box and make sure that's not a factor in your interview, right? Absolutely. The other thing I want to touch on here in appearance is the shoes that you're wearing, okay? I am a lover of shoes also, and I love heels. They're so fun, and I'm comfortable in them and confident in them. And so I would feel comfortable and confident wearing high heels to an interview. In fact, I think when I interviewed with North American Science, I believe that I did wear tall heels. But that's not for everyone. And the most important thing when choosing your footwear is to choose shoes that are comfortable and that you really feel confident in, because comfort in many cases does equal confidence. However, it doesn't mean that, well, the shoes that I feel most comfortable and most confident in are my sneakers. Okay, yes, right? But maybe there's a pair of flats, or guys, I know sometimes you don't always feel super comfortable in those dress shoes. So do you have a different pair that's a little bit more comfortable, right? This is especially though for the ladies when you might feel pressure to wear heels to an interview, even though that's not really what you feel confident in. At the same time, yeah, go ahead, Reed.
With those heels. And things like, if you do get a new pair of shoes, a lot of times, big interviews coming up, get a new outfit, right. New heels, walk around in them. Make sure you are comfortable in them. Make sure that's not your first time walking in them. Walking into our office has big stairs up to the front. And I just think that falling down the stairs or any of those nightmarish.
That would be a bad look.
Think about. But you have to think, a lot of times in an interview, in our minds, we're just sitting down at a table talking to potential employers. However, you don't know necessarily what is going to transpire. Maybe they want to show you around the office a little bit. Maybe they want to walk you around. Maybe they want to show you different departments, give you a tour. So think about those things. And that's why shoes are also important, is because you may not be just sitting down. You may be going on tour. You may be doing certain things. So that's something to think about as well. I know that different interviewees I've had along the way, I've given full shop tours. If they had closed-toed shoes, we could go in the shop.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good tip, Rhiannon. And if you are interviewing for a company that does have a manufacturing facility or some sort of industrial space, it is definitely very smart to wear something that is closed-toed so that you can get an interview in that space, which of course just gives you more face-to-face time with the person who's interviewing you. Just creates more space for conversation and connection, which is very valuable. So your shoes could make
and
a break.
And along with that, we have our shop, and we have a lot of techs that work in our shop. Even though they are interviewing potentially for a more technical job, the hands-on job, whether they're welding, building letters, whatever they're doing in their shop, that initial interview, still, no matter what you're interviewing for, your appearance should reflect what you want the employer to know about you, that you are put together, that you are responsible, that you are all of these things that you would want people to know. Even if you feel like you're interviewing for a job that wouldn't require you to wear that type of attire, it's still important and still definitely something to consider. Now, that might be something, and again, this is a personal choice, maybe a nice pair of tailored jeans and a dress shirt, something along those lines instead of more an office setting. So again, it's a personal decision there, but still, regardless of the position you're applying for, dress higher or the level higher than that would be.
Yeah.
So it's a very casual position where you're wearing, again, working in the shop, wearing dirty clothes because you're getting dirty, your hands on, perfectly okay. When you go in for that interview, still make sure that you're put together.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Dress for the job you want. Isn't that what they say?
Mm-hmm.
Dress for the job you want. And I want to touch too on what are the differences between virtual and in-person interviews. I think I would make the case that the way that you dress for an in-person interview is the same way that you should dress for a virtual interview, right? Even though, like we said, probably you're just going to see shoulders or chest up, okay? There is, I think, a difference. The way that you dress can shape the way that you feel and can shape your level of confidence. And so if I am sitting in an interview and I've got my nice button down on, but then I've got sweats on underneath, right? I don't feel as put together and collected as I would need to be if I were in person. So I would encourage you, dress all the way, do it all. And then after interview's done, right, obviously relax. But for that hour or half an hour or whatever, go the extra mile, right? You definitely won't regret it. That's certainly not the wrong choice. I would say for the most part, the same rules really do apply for that virtual versus in-person interview. But if we think again about what colors am I wearing, your lighting in your in-person interview can really impact the way that colors play on camera. For me, right now I'm sitting and I have a window actually right in front of me, and that sheds really natural light on me so that the colors you're seeing on screen are pretty authentic. If you're sitting in an environment where all you have, right, maybe you don't have any natural light, no windows, so you've got all artificial lighting, you might have to play around with that a little bit. How can I adjust my lighting? Maybe I can put a lamp over here or over there, right? That changes the lighting. That's maybe a little bit more flattering and brings colors to life in a way that's more true to the actual environment, right? Those are all right. Important things to think about.
So this is where I think people get lax. Mm-hmm. I think it's easier said that when people know that they have an in-person interview, at least in my experience, been doing lots of interviews over the years, when it's in person, I think people automatically just dress up a notch. When it's on camera, though, or on a Zoom meeting, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think it's thrown by the wayside a little bit or not thought about as much, which, like mm-hmm. Tori said, it's almost even more important because we don't get that in-person interaction. And so all we have is this camera interaction. All we have is, and it is a very different feel to that. So the other thing I would suggest, along with what Tori said, is turn your camera on prior to where you're going to sit on your interview and see what that lighting is. See what's behind you. See where the angle is. We have had lots of potential that have had the angle, so it's like up their nose. Like, you want to look at the angle ahead of time and see, okay, what are these people seeing? And yes, definitely, you don't want a busy background. So if it's something that you can have, again, no distractions. If you can have something a little bit more simple, and like Tori said, think about your lighting ahead of time. We want to be able to see you. And it is important, yes, that you're only seeing the top half. But what am I seeing on that top half? I cannot tell you how many interviews I have done where somebody gets on camera and they're in a t-shirt. Or just, I had somebody recently that camera pulled up and they were driving in their car while interviewing. Not sitting in their car, because I've had that happen, and that's okay. Sometimes you have to go into the car, sit down on your phone and do an interview. As long as you're stationary, I can understand that. And we as employees can understand that sometimes if you're in the middle of potentially switching jobs, you have to take that lunch break to do that. And I respect that. I understand that. And again, sometimes it's one of those things that you just have to tell somebody up front. But it was, talk about distracting. When we got on this interview and she's driving in a t-shirt, well, and it's okay to say, hey, that time doesn't work for me. Is there any way that we can, because I think in the middle of that, she had to pick up her children. Well, if that doesn't work, it's okay to reschedule that interview at a different time from what they suggested. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather you do that and be safe than you're distracted with 5 other things. Because I almost stopped the interview right then and there, and I should have, because it was so distracting and it wasn't safe. But immediately, she had great answers. The answers to the questions I asked, but I was so distracted from the appearance and what was going on behind her and around her, that it was an immediate no. I don't want that to happen to anybody else. So definitely about even more so when you're on camera, what's happening? What's going on?
100%. 100%. I had a candidate who, when you first told me that story about the person driving, I just like, it's wild. That is in like, okay. We shouldn't have to say that. We shouldn't have to say, hey, don't drive during an interview. But apparently that's a thing. So y'all, that's crazy. Okay. Yeah. It reminds me of a candidate that I was interviewing, and she was very nice. And I didn't have the issue with the crazy background, right? But her shirt, which was verging on it wasn't a t-shirt, but it wasn't quite as like maybe professional as something that I would typically look for. But it was a flattering shirt in a fine color. It was so wrinkled. She looked a hot mess. And throughout the interview, she was a hot mess. Mm-hmm. And again, she was a lovely person, but the way that her shirt looked was really a reflection of her performance in the interview. I don't know whether one caused the other or what was going on there, but it definitely influenced my kind of take on her abilities, because if you can't take the time to put a little bit of thought into the way that you're presenting yourself, how can I trust you to put thought into your job?
100%. And that is what the employees are going to think. If you can't take the time to put yourself together, make yourself presentable and professional for this type of interview, how much do you care about the work you're going to do here? How much time and effort are you going to put into that? So unfortunately, is very important. It's people say, I just said in the very beginning of all of this, what I say should count so much more than what I look like. 100%. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about how attractive you are or how, because honestly, that doesn't matter. It is 100% how much effort you put into yourself, grooming yourself. Men, make sure your beards are trimmed. They're not all looking scraggly everywhere. That you put thought and care into your appearance shows your confidence level, shows how you present yourself. And again, think about all these other things. How do you present yourself? If you're presenting yourself to me that way as the boss or your potential boss, how are you going to present yourself to clients or other employees? And what's that going to do for my culture? So these are all of things that are top of mind for employees as they're going through these interview process. And again, I don't want anything distracting me from what you're saying. Because yes, ultimately, what you say and what you're going to bring to the table is the most important. So let us hear that and not worry about anything else.
Okay, so the other part of this whole conversation of the way that you present yourself, right? It's not just about how you dress or about how your hair looks, but it's also about your body language. And Rhiannon mentioned, we often think that the most important part of our communication is through what we say, but actually a huge chunk of our communication is through our body language and through our tone of voice. There was a gentleman by the name of Albert Mehrabian, I think I'm saying that name right. And he did some research on how people communicate their emotions. So this research, I think this statistic is misplaced sometimes. He did some research on how people communicate their emotions through their different facets of communication, right? Through body language, tone of voice, and then their actual words. He found that 55% of our communication is through our body language, 38% is tone of voice, and only 7% is words. In real life applications, those probably waver a little bit, but the reality is that we do communicate a lot by our body language and through our tone of voice. You see this a lot in kids, right? When they're very small, they can't use their voices beyond screaming when they're hungry, right? Or whatever that is. So they actually learn how to communicate first through their bodies. I was visiting with some friends this past weekend, and they have a little boy who's just over a year old. He can't talk, but I saw him using his whole body to communicate about what he needed or where he wanted to be, right? So if he wanted to be held by one person, maybe mom over dad or dad over mom, right? He would lean toward that person or he would point at what he wanted. They've even taught him some sign language to say more please or I'm all done, right? So he's communicating with his body instead of his voice. Also think about it this way. Have you been in a conversation where you could tell maybe that the other person didn't really want to be there, right? Maybe they're engaging with what you're saying and they're responding to you, but their body language could communicate that they really would rather be somewhere else, right? So maybe their feet are pointed away from you or they keep glancing at someone else or someplace else in the room, right? Maybe their arms are crossed in front of them. And you, as the person talking to them, can maybe read, this person does not want to be here, right? Even though they're vocally, they're conversationally engaging with you. So these subtle body language cues can sometimes be more honest than what a person is actually saying. So that's what we want to dig into a little bit here in this section of today's episode. What is our body language saying about who we are and what we can bring to a company in an interview?
So my first tip here, Tori, as you're going through this, is remember that, and this could go for both in person and online interviewing. However, it's even more important in person. Remember that interview is starting from the moment you walk in that building.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So your body language and posture. So when you greet the receptionist and tell them who you are and what you're there for, how are your facial expressions? Are they open? Mm-hmm. Are you smiling? And then they'll escort you to a waiting area usually and have you sit down. So what are you doing then? Are you bent over your phone, looking at your phone and that you're bored or that you don't want to be waiting? Think about these little things.
Yeah.
You don't want to translate, or I've had people often even in the office and with employees, if you're on a face-to-face call like this, are you constantly looking over at something else? Are you constantly reading an email or doing something else? Are you constantly looking down at your phone? So those body languages, even when you first walk in the door or first get on in camera interview, it's immediate. It's something that we're looking at immediately. I want to know how you interact with the receptionist or other employees that walk through the area prior to you getting to meet. Because that really does first tell me a little bit about your character and again, how engaged you are to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, Ree. A lot of the rules that apply for virtual interviews also apply for those in-person settings. And so to dig a little bit into the virtual setting, obviously, sitting up straight is important. You want to be engaged, right? Me looking over to the side at my email or my Teams messages or whatever, not very conducive to communicating through your body language that you are actually engaged in the conversation, right? You're probably not going to see us even here and recording this podcast that we're like looking all around at all the different things going on. We're still working. We've still got our emails are pinging. Things are happening, but we're focused and here and engaged. Same thing applies in an interview. One important kind of just technical tip to think about, again, that camera placement, the lighting we talked about a little bit earlier, but the camera placement is also really important. So there is a tendency to, as you're interviewing, to be looking down at wherever the person who's interviewing you is on your screen, right? Totally get it. It's a hard habit to break. I'm working on it just in my daily video communication. But something that you can do that really helps communicate eye contact, even though it is through video call, is to look actually just directly below the camera, okay? So you can place your video screen directly below wherever your camera is, and that will help it look like, even if you are looking at the person on the screen, it's going to help it look like you're looking directly at them instead of down somewhere else on the screen. So think about where are you placing things on your screens? Where are you placing your camera? and all that, especially if you've got really, really big screens. That's important to think about. Rhiannon, you mentioned earlier that you've interviewed people who've had these weird, crazy angles. I had that once where it was almost, I almost had to stop myself from laughing out loud. It was pretty bad. The camera was extremely close to this woman's face and like down here, okay? Which you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that is not a flattering angle on anyone, okay? So she, like her head looked like a thumb in the camera because of the angle and things. And then I looked at her photo on LinkedIn before the interview. It was a great photo. She looked wonderful in it. Got into this video interview and I was like, this is not even the same person. They didn't look anything alike. So be thoughtful about where you're placing your camera, what's going to give you the best perspective to communicate right. with your body in that setting.
Right. Absolutely. And the other thing that goes along with that, we had somebody or that had an interview where they were literally laying on their couch with like their phone above them. Okay, I'm glad that you're comfortable.
And but then, I don't want you to be that comfortable.
Probably not nervous, but again, distracting.
Yeah.
And the we're looking up your nose the whole time. We don't want to look up your nose the whole time. We do want to see a little bit of your surrounding. And like I said, also pay attention to what's behind you. If you have a big mess behind you, are you just a messy person? Are you not organized? That's one of the things that employees want to know right off the bat. We do talk a lot about organization skills and things along those lines. So little things that you don't recognize right away that we 100% will recognize. So that's why we say over and over again, make sure that you turn on your camera and do that ahead of time. Look at those angles. Look, if I was talking to this person, would it be okay? Would I want to be? So make sure you do that mock run of getting things all up and running prior to. Obviously, the other thing that is very important in regards to this is also, now, not everybody's going to have a microphone. Of course, we have microphones for the podcast, but how quiet are you?
Yeah.
So think about those type of things in regards to, that's one of the first things people that can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? But think about that. You want to be heard. You want to be able to. So if there's any way that you can even do, I suggest this to everybody. Do a mock Zoom with somebody else. Set up a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. Anybody can log on to Zoom. So do that with somebody else and say, okay, how's my sound? How is the quality? How is my video? Make sure also that you are in some place that has good internet connection. So that's another thing when we're trying to talk to you, it's so frustrating that if you're glitching constantly or your video doesn't work or it's just, it's one of those distracting things. Make sure that you are somewhere that has good internet access that you know is reliable. So we all know things happen.
Of course.
Technology is great until it's not. But think of all these things ahead of time. Don't be doing it last minute because you're going to look unprepared. You're going to look scattered. You're going to look messy. And all of these are going to show in your face of I'm terrified. I'm really scared or I've never done this before kind of situation. So we definitely suggest to do that ahead of time.
And posture. Absolutely.
Like Tori said, sit up straight. Don't slouch in your chair. You don't need to get right up close to your camera. Hey, Tori, can you see me? Think of all of these things. Don't have background noise if you are doing it at home. Think about what's going on, not just behind you visual, but behind you in regards to children or TV upstairs or anybody else in the household that's going to walk by. We've seen all those bloopers sometimes with even news crews and everything when COVID was going on and the funny things that people stood up and they didn't have pants on, they had boxers on or all different things that we can think about. But think about the background noise as well. So,
all really important things. The last thing I would consider y'all to think about as you're doing these virtual interviews, how are you acknowledging what's happening in a conversation without that being a distraction on a video call? So when we're in person, we're having a conversation, I might be saying yes or mm-hmm or oh yeah. I'm giving these verbal acknowledgments that I'm engaged and with you in the conversation. Sometimes on a video call, right, especially if you don't maybe have that awesome connection or there's a slight delay in the connection, maybe a better thing to do is to be just nodding your head to communicate that connection or to communicate affirmation. Oh, I'm hearing what you're saying, right? Versus actually saying, yeah, or mm-hmm. Because sometimes those little glitches will happen that kind of slow down the momentum of the interview, right? Because then me as the person maybe asking a question, I think you might have something to say. And so then it causes some of those, I guess, disfluencies is the word that we could use. Just little awkward interruptions that are easily avoided by just nodding your head to communicate affirmation rather than a vocal affirmation. Okay, so virtual interviews are one beast. Body language is definitely easier to read in that in-person setting. So first thing I want to touch on here is how are you sitting? Okay, how are you sitting? I can't give you a visual demonstration, obviously, but what I tell people, as especially like I mentioned, these high school girls that are preparing for their first interview, and I've coach them both for interviews where they're seated and where they're standing. Typically in a business setting, obviously you're seated. And ladies, here's what I'd recommend for you as you're considering even the way that you're sitting. Our tendency for a lot of us, in fact, even me right now, I'm sitting with my legs crossed in my chair, right? My legs are crossed at the knee. It's comfortable. It's what I do all the time. It's very habitual. However, sometimes when we cross our legs at the knee, and this is my like dancer physical training side coming out. But when we sit with our legs crossed at the knee, that pushes our pelvis back, which makes it more difficult if you don't have a ton of flexibility to actually sit forward and to sit up in your chair, right? It sometimes can force you to sit back and to sit slouched a little bit more. So instead of crossing your legs at the knee, cross them at the ankle. That's a very, it gives that similar comfort of having the legs touching, right? But without what can sometimes be visibly a little bit awkward with sitting with your knees crossed, right? And it, of course, it depends on what kind of chair are you sitting in, all that kind of thing. Or if you're shorter, can you reach the floor, right? You have to consider those things. But for most of us, just crossing your legs at the ankles is a way better way to just make sure that you can sit up and then really project that confidence.
I think in that way you don't have to adjust much either.
That's a good point.
We'll talk about a little bit more about fidgeting. And when you cross your knee, because your leg ultimately will fall asleep or get uncomfortable if you cross it at the knee for too long. And I think if you keep it just like Tori said, crossed at the ankle, it prevents that constant need to adjust every so often. Mm-hmm. And not that's a huge, terrible thing because that's not a huge fidget. But again, you don't want that distracting from what you want to be comfortable. When you are exuding your best personal self, you are comfortable and you want to be comfortable and yet professional. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great tip, Tori. And one that honestly, out of all of these years of doing, I haven't thought of myself. So I'm learning something today too.
There you go. I love it. I love it. I think the same is true for guys. It's maybe you don't want to cross your legs at the ankle. For a lot of guys, they tend to cross their ankle or put their ankle at their knee, right, to give that figure four shape. It's very comfortable. It feels like comfortable for them. However, sometimes, again, it's going to force you to sit more back in your chair, which is projects a more relaxed presence. But in an interview, you're wanting to be engaged. You're wanting to show that you're really there and present. And so for y'all, just go ahead and keep your feet planted on the floor, right? It's going to allow you to sit forward and upright in your chair. Even thinking about how you're sitting can really make a difference. But Brandon mentioned fidgeting is also a thing that can happen in an interview for a lot of people, especially if maybe you're new to interviewing, you don't have much experience. Fidgeting is a way to expend nervous energy But again, it's really distracting. It causes me to look at, like I mentioned before, maybe you're like clacking your nails against the table or something. It's distracting. It draws my attention to what you're doing rather than what you're saying, right? Rather than the content of your answers. Sometimes people tend to like grab their hands nervously. If for some reason you're in a setting where you're standing, sometimes people have a tendency to like nervously actually cross their legs when they're standing or to rock back and forth. And it's really, again, you're more comfortable and you're going to project more confidence when you're sitting with your hands gently placed, maybe folded in your lap. That's a great thing to do if you're a little bit of a nervous fidgeter. If you're a hand talker like me or like Rhiannon, we're already engaging with our hands. But just be thoughtful about what are my fidgets or my, this is maybe not quite the right term, but almost like your tics. What are the things that you're doing to expend that nervous energy that maybe you could redirect into a different place? Because it's probably not realistic to say you'll totally be able to just get rid of that nervous energy. But think about how can you redirect that into a place where it's at best actually helpful to you and at the very least is not a distractor.
You probably don't want to go into an interview that you're potentially nervous for and drink a bunch of caffeine right before you walk in. You know, again, we want that energy. We want the positive energy. But some people, one thing that I've noticed, especially in-person interviews, that leg shaking, when people get really, leg tap or shake, touching their foot, that's something that is extremely distracting. And it's okay if you catch yourself, it's okay to say, hey, I'm just a little bit nervous. I would rather hear that and take a second and say, than to continue that throughout the interview. Because once again, I'm going to be focused on that and not what you're saying. So think of these things prior to going into this interview. The other thing that I can not say enough, and it sounds stupid, okay? It sounds stupid. Practice in a mirror. Have your mirror set up, even on your table, if you're sitting down, have questions that are just commonly asked, or even the most common question of tell me a little bit about yourself. You're going to hear it. It's going to happen. You're going to hear it. What you want to do, that's that time to do your 30-second elevator pitch. And again, what is that going to look like in the mirror? It sounds dumb. But when you go in and you're prepared for that, you've already done this in a mirror. You've done this to a friend. Have somebody ask you. Sit down in a mic interview. Have somebody ask you these questions. You're already going to be prepared for that. Again, you don't know exactly what they're going to ask you, but you're going to be prepared and more comfortable with your answers, which lessens the likelihood of that fidgeting, of that nervous energy, because you do feel a little bit more confident. You do feel a little bit more prepared. So I highly suggest that, even though you're going to feel a little weird doing it, it's a little awkward, ask your spouse, ask your friend, ask somebody to help you with some questions. And if you don't have anybody right there or that candidate is available, do it in a mirror. What do I look like? Grade yourself. What do I need to do? Sometimes I can be a little bit big and in your face to talk with everything. And sometimes I need to understand that I got to tone it down a little bit, because not everybody is the same way. Not everybody's as outgoing or talks with their hands as much as I do. It's even the opposite. As much as we want the enthusiasm, we want you to be there and show, you almost have to mirror the people that are interviewing you and mirror almost their excitement or their enthusiasm. If I'm going in there and it's a firm, and they're very calm and very low key in regards to their demeanor and things along those lines, then I go in there and I'm like, hey, I'm here. It's Rhiannon. I'm good. People are going to be like, what the heck? Think about those things too, just your personality. Sometimes I have to tone myself down in certain areas or realize that talking with my hands, though somewhat expressive, can also be distracting. So think about those things as well.
Yeah, practice really does make perfect. The other thing that you can practice is making eye contact. This seems like it goes without saying that eye contact is really important. It's extra important in that in-person interview setting. There's a little bit of wiggle room, right, in those video calls. But I know when I'm interviewing you in person, if you are or aren't making eye contact with me. So if this is something that's challenging for you, it's okay. It's hard for a lot of people, especially because we spend more time on our phones now than ever before. So we get less face-to-face time. Just practice it in your day-to-day conversations. Make sure that you're making eye contact with folks as you're just chatting about the weather or catching up on what happened during the day. Make sure that you're making eye contact. I find this in myself. I have a tendency when I'm the one speaking to be looking off because I'm thinking about what I'm saying, right? And it's not rude or anything like that. It's just a habit that I've built. And so I have to be really mindful to make intentional eye contact. It can be hard, but if you practice it and you make it into a habit, even that fidgeting thing, try to practice channeling that energy somewhere else. Once you build it into a habit, then you get into that interview setting. You don't have to think about it because you've practiced it already.
That self-awareness piece is huge. Knowing I'm the same way with Tori. And again, it's different personality types. Sometimes I can get really excited about answering a question and almost interrupt. And that is never my intention to interrupt. However, again, I know this, so I need to make sure that somebody, especially in an interview setting, gets their question out thoroughly, gets everything out. And then I'll even stop and say, that's a good question. Let me think about that for a second. Mm-hmm. That's okay, because it slows down the pace a little bit, gives you time to breathe, also lets you think of those thoughts that if you're like me, sometimes like Tori, we want to rush to what we want to say. We're not listening to the context enough because we are so excited about joining in on this conversation and what we need to say next. So that self-awareness piece of just how you conversate with people normally in your everyday life is definitely something to think about, because when you're in an interview setting, you are going to be nervous most likely. So those things that potentially are habits are going to be basically exhilarated, they're going to be enhanced and they're going to be potentially more distracting than even in your normal everyday setting.
Yeah, absolutely. The last thing to think about when you're in that in-person interview, and this is subtle, it may or may not make a difference, but just a good thing to think about, avoid putting things on the table or the desk or whatever between you and the person interviewing you, right? So maybe you brought a copy of your resume, or you have a water bottle or a cup of coffee or whatever it is, even you have your handbag or something, right? Definitely don't place that in between you and the person you're interviewing, right? Or the person interviewing you, excuse me. Because whether or not we wanted to, or whether it does or doesn't, it could have the potential to project a little bit of a barrier between you and the person that you're talking to. We definitely want to avoid that, right? So just go ahead and place those things off to the side. It avoids creating that barrier. When there's no barrier, now you and I can connect more authentically, right? It can be more relational and less transactional. So the physical space that you're in really impacts how things can go. And then your physical presentation in that space can impact how things go. So just be thoughtful. We've talked about so many different things in this episode. There's a lot to take in. I'm a dance teacher, and I always tell my students, if they've done a combination and I'm like, there are 100 things we need to fix in here, I recommend to them, pick one, maybe two at most to think about. The things that you struggle with the most, pick those things. Okay. We're going to do the combination again. Focus on that. So there's definitely no way that you're going to be able to walk into your next interview and think about the 50 things that we've just shared and be able to implement all of them and be thoughtful about all of them. And then also answer questions with quality. I would say if there are a couple things that we've talked about today that you're like, oh, I really struggle with that. I'm a big fidgeter, or I maybe could present myself better. Pick two things to work on that then you take into that next interview. It's a practice. It takes time to build these habits. So just pick two things, walk away with that, and move forward. And you'll get better there's always time. There's always time. There's always going to be another job, but just pick two. Start small.
All right, Tori, we've talked about a lot today on this episode, but to wrap everything up, your physical appearance is extremely important. And that's both your body language and also your physical appearance. And both of those are super important to having that successful interview that you're looking for. Make sure you do your research on the company and culture and be sure to practice things like the eye contact, the fidgeting, and just preparation. And we want you to project confidence. Don't be deceived by the notion that the virtual interview is less prep, because it's absolutely not. You definitely want to practice for that as well. Virtual interview requires just as much prep as the in-person one.
Absolutely, it does. Okay. Everybody, thanks so much for joining us today for this really interesting, hopefully helpful conversation about how are you just presenting yourself physically in that interview, whether it's virtual or in person. You can check out other episodes of the Innovation Room podcast to get more helpful content just like this. You can also sign up for our monthly InAssign newsletter at the link in this episode's description. And that newsletter just provides more educational resources like what you get here on the podcast. The last thing I want to share with y'all, this is very exciting news, is that we have just launched a brand new website for the podcast. On there, you can find, you can subscribe to the podcast. You can get really interesting blog articles that cover topics that we might not always be able to get to here on the podcast. You can send us questions and comments, and you can also sign up to be an expert guest on our website. So go check that out. You can also find that link down in the description. We hope you'll come visit, check it out, let us know what you think, or let us know what you want to hear us talk about next on the Innovation Room. And until next time, y'all, keep innovating.